Good morning.
Good morning.
You think for 1 minute that that is going to drive me crazy? I love hearing that loud. Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren for the sermon titled, oh yeah, I forgot. Got thrown out of the reptile house this week when we were visiting the zoo. I was standing in there minding my own business, wandering around in the amphibian area, listening to the tour guide talk about everything that was there. And finally we got to everything that lives in the water, and she was explaining the differences. And she missed a part of alligators and crocodiles. And I asked her, I said, ma'am, do you know the difference between an alligator and a crocodile? And she went on and explained it to me, and I said, no, you're wrong. And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, one you'll see later, and one you'll see after a while. I got walked out. I don't care what you think. God liked that and was laughing. Oh yeah, I forgot to tell you the scripture, didn't I? Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Having a little fun with this sermon title. And I'm telling you on camera, this was inspired by my wife. Matthew 14, verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus said to them immediately, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. If it is you, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. When he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me! Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this lesson. We thank you that we are able to hear things that will apply to us. We thank you, Father, that we are here, and we pray that this message lights us up yet again for this week to come and allows us to be those beacons to talk about your Son and the saving grace. And allow us to walk with you this week, strengthening us where we need it. In all things, we give praise to you, Father, to the Holy Spirit, and to your Son, in whose name we pray, and all of his children said, amen. Oh yeah, I forgot. Now I am going to go deep into my memory banks to pull this story out because, as I said earlier, in all seriousness, Wendy propagated this sermon when we were having a discussion, and it brought forth a story I had heard so long ago, I had to sit quietly to allow it to come back. Now I'm sure, and I have to say this, because of plagiarism and euphemism and every other kind of ism, I've got to say this up front. I don't know who wrote it. I cannot remember. Yeah, I forgot. I don't know where I heard it, and I don't know how it came to be, but it's a story that I've always had back here somewhere. There was a church that had gotten in the spirit. They had fell way behind in how they were enacting things. They would come into the sanctuary on a Sunday morning, and they would sit in dour faces, and they would be sad. And that ain't how Christians are supposed to be. And eventually they got a new pastor, and the new pastor came from a missionary background. And he wanted to invoke to them. He wanted to wake them up. He wanted to get them moving. And so he knew of a need in a country far away where they had nothing. And the missionaries were there trying to get the gospel spread. And he decided the best thing for them to do was to get a list, to get the church working together, to warm it back up, to wake it back up. Let's pack stuff for this church. Young pastor knew a trucking company, and the trucking owner knew a shipping company, and the shipping company knew a trucking owner way over there, and it was all starting to work out. And one man in the church who didn't really do much suddenly got on fire with the Spirit. And he proceeded to take over the help of that, and he guided things through. And they were packing crates, and the day came, and they were packing them, and they were nailing them shut and pulling the steel bands on them. And everybody was going as hard as they could go. And the trucks got loaded, and they took off, and the boats got loaded, and they took off. And the trucks in the country got loaded, and they took off for this unknown need other than what was scribbled on a piece of paper. The man was feeling pretty good on his way home. And when he got back to his house, he wanted to sit down and read a little bit. And he reached for his spectacles, and they were gone. Gone. He couldn't read without them. And he hunted around, and he looked, and he went out to his truck, and he looked, and his wife came out, and she said, "What's going on?" He said, "I had my glasses in my pocket there when we were doing all this work. I lost them. Let's go back to the church." So they drove back, and they looked, and they looked. And he said, "Well, I guess I must have lost them at the store when we left church. I don't know. I'll just use my old pair." So he went home and he sat and he read. Time passed on. And one day the pastor stood up with a paper in his hand. He said, "I want to read you this story." And the missionary lead from the far off country began to talk about what happened when the crates arrived. You see, the village had just been struck by a major storm and wiped out. And the crates had hammers and nails and wood screws and tools in one of them. And they needed them things to rebuild. And they had been praying for help because there was no money. And they opened up another crate, and in there was Bibles and hymnals that had been left over so they could sing and praise God. And they opened up another crate. And the leader of that saw clothes and shoes. And they opened up another crate. And there was canned goods and stuff to feed and get through all this. And they opened up the final crate. And in there was utensils and all kinds of stuff. And as they were going through it, at the very bottom of that crate, the leader noticed a pair of eyeglasses. And he picked them up. And he put them on. And he fell to his knees in prayer and tears. And he wrote to the pastor of the church. He said, "There ain't no ophthalmologist nowhere. No way I could get my eyes fixed. And my glasses were well over date. And all I could do was go from memory. And I needed glasses so bad. But I didn't tell anyone. Because I wanted to make sure the village had first. Not only did God give me glasses, He gave me the prescription I need so I can now see." The man in the back stood up, tears coming down, and said, "Praise God for being there even when we forgot Him." Every day we wake up, it comes at us all at once. I don't care what time of the morning it is. I don't care if you get up at 0 dark 30 like I do, or if you get up when the sun comes up. Every day when you wake up, it all comes at you. All at once. All these thoughts pour into your head. Family, friends, work, sickness, bills, family. Said that one twice, right? Because it's needed. And immediately you begin to formulate your day. You begin to understand that your day is going to be full of trial and it's going to be full of struggle. And you say your prayer and then you get out there and you get going. We don't live yet in the relief of heaven. So we are constantly beset by those things which push down on us. Now, I just need to know, so I'll make sure I'm going in the right direction. Does anybody in this room have stuff pushing down on them? Say amen.
Amen.
Well, not very many of you, right? Because I figured it would back me up 2 feet. You have anything pushing down on you? Say amen.
Amen.
That's right. Thank you, Maddox. I have been known to blub, and I'm sorry, I'm stealing that word. I have been known to blub about rainy weekends because, see, I get frustrated with them. I work all week long. When I come home on the weekends, I want to do what I want to do. And it usually involves me doing what Wendy tells me to do. And the list is forever more long. And most of it has to do with stuff outside. And it rains and I want to do stuff outside so that she won't be mad at me. And we get things done and I come home and it's raining, raining, raining. And I blub, blub, blub. Why is everything so dang hard? Why in the world do I have to put up with everything? This is my weekend. This is my day. I don't understand this. And yet I live on a well, and the well loves getting water filtered down through it. And I live where the grass needs to grow, and the grass loves the rain. And I live in these situations where rain is a welcome thing, especially a nice steady rain. And I get all twisted up about it. And then I have to back up for a second as to why, and go, oh yeah, I forgot. And I remind myself why we struggle. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. And to Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Oh yeah. I forgot. We messed it up. That's why it rains every weekend for me. This is how it is for now. This is how we live in this moment. And how we choose to get out of it depends on whether or not we put our faith in blubbing or crying or complaining, which don't take this the wrong way. It's okay. We're only human. Or do we, when we get done spouting off, step back 2 steps and go, thank you, God, for giving me life. Thank you, God, for allowing me to have what I have. This is what it is and how we struggle and struggle and why. And they struggled and struggled and struggled from the beginning of time until today. The struggle is real. And they struggled so much. The early people did. The early, soon-to-be Christian understandings, those of God's people, struggled so much, and sometimes we don't get it. And sometimes when I'm lost in all of it, and I'll be perfectly honest with you, sometimes when I'm lost in all of it, I forget what we have. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 is that reminder. In the 6th month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a small town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." How will this be? Mary asks, since I am a virgin, and we know the rest of the story, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and overshadow you, and the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. When I forget, which happens a lot, I am reminded. There's a reason why we struggle. There is a reason why we don't have to worry about that struggle. And that reason comes in the form of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And yet, we still get lost in it, don't we? Sometimes we still find ourselves questioning everything. Like Peter. There he was, in a boat. There he was, walking with Jesus Christ. There he was, seeing the miracles. There he was, being hand in hand. By the time the 14th chapter of Matthew was laid down, and you can follow it through Mark 6 and John 6, all this stuff had begun to happen. They saw the miracles. Literally. Jesus is on the mountain praying after doing what? Feeding 5,000 people with loaves of bread and a paltry amount of fishes. Now, to me, that's magical. Can you imagine? You went out to see Jesus that day, and you sat down and you said, man, I'm hungry. And well, I've got to have something to eat. And they come around, and they keep on coming around. Where's this coming from? The disciples saw this happen. And finally, when it was all said and done, they went back to what they do, which was fish. And they got in the boat while Jesus said, go ahead, I need to sit here and pray. These men have walked side by side, slept with him, ate with him, slept next to where he's been in the dirt, been in the muck, been in the mire, seen the magical miracles take place. And here they are in a boat, and everything that's going on is going on. And suddenly they look up, and Jesus is walking out of the darkness toward them. Now, I want an honest answer right here, right now. How many people would have been ready to go over the other side of the boat? Really? I see some of you going, no, Paul. I would have said, well, look, there's somebody walking on the water. That doesn't scare me at all. Remember where we're at. Instead, Peter gets mouthy. After Jesus tells them, don't be afraid, it's me, walking on water. Has anybody in this room, and be honest, ever tried to do it? Oh, come on. You've stood back at the end of a dock or the edge of the water somewhere and said, man, I got new shoes on. If I run really, really, really fast, I bet you I can run across the water. I bet you I can run out there about 5 feet before I sink. And you tried it. And how far did you get? 6 inches. And then you went face first. He was way out in the lake. And Peter says, Lord, I believe you. Tell me to step out of this boat and walk out to you. Can you imagine the look on Jesus' face when he knew what was coming and he said, all right, come here. And Jesus stepped out away from the boat to make room for Peter. And Peter probably turned around and went, watch this! And stepped out of the boat onto the water. And probably about 2 steps out, he went, you all wish you could do this, don't you? And then he got about 5 feet from the boat, and he turned around and he said, what am I doing out here? What? And he began to sink. And he hollered out, help me. And Jesus standing there pulled him up. What the Bible doesn't record is the next part. And we know how it happened. Jesus walked him back to the boat and said, why do you doubt? You of little faith, why do you doubt? And I'll bet you after he caught his breath, Peter looked at him for a minute and went, oh yeah, I forgot. We get lost in this doubt because we are still human. We still struggle. We still toil. We still have to accept things as they come. But the one thing we don't have to accept is doing it alone. regardless of what life throws at us. Officer Jim Heimerell was a Minneapolis policeman taking part in a 16.3-mile run in Grantsburg, Wisconsin. Jim was 4 miles into the race in a cluster of runners not very far off the pace of the leaders when two deer ambled out of the woods and onto the road. The startled buck, no doubt distressed to find himself in the middle of a human marathon, began running wildly, zigzagging back and forth through the runners. Jim said he didn't even see the animal until the two of them collided and sprawled onto the asphalt highway. Jim fell flat on his face, received a concussion, and opened up a nasty deep gash that required 25 stitches. Jim reported, "Luckily, there was a doctor running behind me. Because of the way my heart was pumping from running, I lost a lot of blood through that in a hurry. The doctor applied pressure and got it stopped." The buck, however, paid an even higher price for his encounter. The collision broke his leg and back, and the only humane response was to dispense him to the ranks of the, quote, "dearly departed." I didn't write that. Wish I had. Jim had already been admitted to a nearby hospital for repairs when state game officials called to tell him Wisconsin law holds that anyone who hits and kills a deer on a Wisconsin highway can claim it. But since he didn't feel up to dealing with it and didn't want to have to take it home after he recuperated overnight, he declined. And he lamented on his luck, "I know God was smiling at me, but he has a funny way of doing it. I've been hunting deer for 14 years without getting a thing, and then I hit one while I'm out running on the road. Ain't that just funny?" God was there. God was always there, even when we forget. We need to be reminded completely to give everything over to God. We need to. Benjamin Franklin says, "Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." What is being said in that statement is, if you don't give your heart wholly to God, you're not getting it. You have forgotten. Why? There is a reason. In 1 Samuel, we read these words. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Verse 21, "Do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue you, because they are useless. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you, and I will teach you the way that is good and right. Be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Yet if you persist in doing evil, you could be swept away." Oh yeah, I forgot. God created me. And because he created me, he loves me. And because he loves me, he watches out for me. And because he watches out for me, he gives me what I need in his own way. Need a further reminder? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We may forget God over and over and over and over again, but God will never forget us. Remember that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have given us the ability to be our own people. And believe it or not, we're thankful sometimes, Father, that we forget. Because when we come back, when we are strengthened by what you have given us and reminded, we are able to tell others, put an arm around them, love on them, and tell them God sent Jesus to die for our sins that we may be purchased and cared for and have eternity. but he will never forget us. He loves us just that much. We thank you, Father, for these words, and let them be in our heart here today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, I often say these words, and I mean it. Today's the day. You don't know what's going to happen 2 feet outside that door. Today's the day. If you don't know him on the other side of the camera, today's the day. If you are in here right now today and need that strengthening, or need to come to him, or need to give your heart over, today, right here, right now, is that day as we sing this last hymn.